Planet Oleos Audio. I'm Mike Cronin. The author is a man by the name Matt K. Lewis. He's a political pundit and a conservative one at that. And he's just written a book called Too Dumb to Fail. It's a must read if you're a political junkie or if you're simply a conservative or a Republican and are worried about your party imploding. It's also a must read if you are someone who just wants a strong two-party system. So what follows is a compilation of excerpts from Matt K. Lewis's time on C-SPAN's Washington Journal this past week as he talks about his book.
Too Dumb to Fail is what happens if you're watching the Republican primary. If somebody says something dumb or crazy or controversial, they go up in the polls. That's what Too Dumb to Fail is. It also harkens to the Too Big to Fail book by Andrew Ross Sorkin in the movie. And in both cases, you have these perverse incentives. So in the Too Big to Fail story, you had financial institutions who took risks that we, the people, ended up picking up the bill for. We have a similar phenomenon taking place in politics right now, where you have politicians and pundits who do or say things that have perverse incentives. It helps them individually. They go up in the polls. They sell more books. They get more buzz. Collectively, it hurts the Republican Party and the conservative movement. So it's really a tragedy of the commons problem, and I don't see it getting any better. It's playing out as we speak. Sarah Palin was, I think, a very good governor of Alaska. She had an 88% approval rating when John McCain picked her. And I think that she gave, I was at the convention in Minneapolis, she gave one of the best speeches I've ever heard. But somewhere along the way, she went rogue and I think became a little bit radicalized. I think some of it was a response to some unfair media attacks that she experienced. But Sarah Palin has changed. I think she has become dumbed down. I think she has become louder and more angry and less intellectual. And I think that maybe she's sort of a microcosm of what we've seen in the Republican Party and the conservative movement. I mean, this year, this was an opportunity. The Republicans had a pretty impressive bench. Someone like a Marco Rubio, who I think still is in the mix. You have people like Bobby Jindal, who was a Rhodes Scholar. Nikki Haley, the governor of North Carolina. There's a lot of talent and a lot of very smart Republicans. Unfortunately, you had a year where, number one, Donald Trump dominated coverage and overshadowed them. And number two, I think because of the political milieu, even the smart conservatives are forced to play dumb. If you juxtapose Reagan's The Speech in 1964 with much of what passes for political rhetoric today, let's think of Donald Trump, some of the vulgar things he says, it really is a stark contrast. It's like Reagan was Demosthenes compared to Donald Trump today. Once you try to build a coalition large enough to win elections and to govern, then all of a sudden you need to get 50% plus one of the vote, and you start making compromises, you start trying to win elections instead of win the argument. And I think that's really, to sum it up, I mean, it's very complicated, but that's really part of the story, is that conservatism has to win elections, it has to build. So you have evangelicals joining the coalition, you have Southerners joining the coalition. I am an evangelical, but there's baggage and there's some anti-intellectual strains that came, starting with the Scopes Monkey trial, that come with evangelicals as they join the Republican coalition. And it's also, frankly, aided by an intentional dumbing down of Republican politicians, which is an interesting thing. Dwight Eisenhower, who basically planned the D-Day invasion, a brilliant military strategist, played this bumbling oaf in press conferences in order to avoid answering questions. And it worked. It was a smart political strategy. Ronald Reagan, who was incredibly smart and incredibly well-read, loved to feign a sort of an everyman, all-shucks attitude. There's a story about how Reagan's press secretary wanted to release a list of all the books that Reagan has been devouring, and Reagan wouldn't let him because he wanted to perpetuate the notion that he was just reading Louis L'Amour westerns, that he wasn't really reading all, he wasn't reading Hayek and Mises and all these other philosophers. And even George W. Bush, who I think was a lot smarter, said he wanted to be misunderestimated. And so I think that in a way, Republicans, in order to sort of appeal to the everyman and win short-term victories, helped advance this negative stereotype about Republicans being the stupid party. Look, I think that Donald Trump is tapping into, right now,
the zeitgeist is to be, you know, we have 7 years of Barack Obama's, in my opinion, disastrous presidency. You have Christians being beheaded by ISIS. You have a perception that our best days are behind us. I mean, there is a spirit of negativity and frustration amongst many Americans, but it's specifically acute amongst kind of working class white Americans who really believe that their best days are behind them, the American dream that they grew up believing in is gone. And when that's the case, it's hard to appeal to people's better angels. It's much easier to sell Donald Trump's message, I think, that taps into the anger and then promises to magically make America great again, than it is a more optimistic Reagan-Kemp message, which I think is actually the best long-term for conservatives, I think could appeal to the most Americans. But Trump, I think, is taking the path of least resistance. I think that serious conservatives believe that entitlements need to be reformed, if for no other reason than to save them, because some of these things are going to go bankrupt if we don't reform them, and that elderly people would never be touched. I mean, any proposal I've ever seen about reforming Social Security would affect people like 50 years and younger, who might have to wait an extra year or two before they collect their Social Security. It's in order to preserve it. But it's very easy to demagogue this. It's very easy to Medicare-monger this issue. And that's why I think Donald Trump is taking really a liberal populist argument and scaremongering and demagoguing it, when people like Paul Ryan actually want to save Social Security so that it's actually there when my kids or when I'm ready for it. The path we're on now, it's not going to be there. But again, it's the easier argument is Donald Trump's argument. Over time, I think Rush has actually changed. And I think there's been a dumbing down of Rush Limbaugh's show. And I think that ultimately, it's interesting because I'm old enough to remember the bad old days where there was a liberal mainstream media filter. You basically had three TV channels. Remember before the so-called, you know, fairness doctrine was lifted, you didn't have the Rush Limbaughs of the world. Before cable news, you didn't have Fox News. And before blogs, you didn't have places like I work at the Daily Caller. And so we've had this proliferation of alternative media, which in many cases is very good. More options, more alternatives. Look, if it wasn't for the Drudge Report, I don't know if we would even know about the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I don't know if that would have ever been driven or forced into the mainstream media. So there's a lot of great things about the diversification of alternative media and conservative media. But I actually think there's also a downside. And you could ask yourself, are Republicans and conservatives better off today? And I think in some cases, that's a debatable question. You have issues like epistemic closure, where you have people in the base who literally, if they want to all day long, could filter out any information that might challenge their worldview. You could just watch Fox News all day long, read nothing but theredstate.com, listen to nothing but Mark Levin, Ann Coulter, or Laura Ingraham, Rush Limbaugh, and you would just have your views confirmed constantly. You would never be challenged.